Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues. But the twist is that we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And we've got, he is a badass. We've got former Green Beret Delta Force operative Scott Steyert on the show. So thanks so much for being on the show, Scott. I also want to mention our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com. Don't forget that discount code. It's Radio15. It's kind of nice to know you've always got that 15% off discount code because of our show from Gulls. Radio 15, Gulls.com. Get that 15% off. Also, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. They're helping us get over to Sirius XM, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, and TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Also, a shout out to all the guys that are helping get our show out there, putting us on some great platforms. We have Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. He puts all of our stuff out there, including he gets us on MSN. We've got Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com and Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. So thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, just because of Scott, I've started doing this. Scott said, you know, Chip, people don't know how to watch your show. They, you know, you need to tell them, don't just tell me you're on podcast. What podcast platforms are you on? What kind of social media? So I got you covered. So yeah. So really, if there's a podcast platform, we used to be, when I was doing it myself, we were on 20, and then we went down to 18 because some people repurposed the sites or they sold or whatever. And then we hired a company to take over the podcast operation. And we're just on like every platform that there is, but certainly on Spotify and Apple iTunes, we're definitely on that. So that check out our show. And also we're on social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Truth Social. The best way to do it, go to our website, leoroundtable.com, upper menu bar. We've got a place where you can go to find out what TV stations we're on, all the 47 radio stations, what dates and times that we're on, the channel numbers for those, what social media outlets we're on, all the podcast. I mean, we got everything there. So check that out, leoroundtable.com. Now, let's whet the appetite. What in the world are we going to be talking about today? All right, Scott and I, you know what? We don't have a main topic today, Scott. And it's almost like a, it's almost like a relief, you know? I mean, we have these main topics, usually, you know, usually one, sometimes two, rarely three, but we get to concentrate on some of this other stuff, stories with video components and these update stories, and sometimes the titles are pretty substantial, and you know what? They are. We've got four update stories if we have time to get to them, which I'm sure we won't, and then we've got a choice of five videos. I'll let you tell me if you want to take any of those out of order, but just kind of going through, and I've kind of alternated by starting off with like an update, a video, an update in a video. So the way they're currently lined up, we've got a Boston officer is charged with manslaughter after he shoots at a carjacking suspect. And the video, they say, because they're not releasing the video, but they're saying the video disputes the account from the officer. So I got a little issue with that. Show the freaking video. But anyhow, so the cop is looking at manslaughter charge right now, but we're going to be on that. Then we got a Richmond Police Department. They released a body cam footage after a woman is shot and killed. We're going to be talking about that from Richmond. And then, Scott, you're going to like this, but because it kind of reminds me, last time you were on the show, you've been great about doing the show every week. Remember last time you were on the show, I pretty much had... The show was dedicated to you and because it was all special forces. It was like not great stories. It was like the female chick that used to be with Delta that was giving classified information to a reporter. And then we had some other guy with had a special forces background or something in the military. I think it was Air Force and he was training Chinese pilots.
Oh, it was that woman. It was she was an intel chick in the Air Force.
Oh, that was what about? Okay. Is she the one that was talking with the reporter? Or no. Was it the other way around? No. She was training the pilots?
The reporter was the former special operations chick.
Okay.
And then there was the Air Force intel lady that
she went crazy.
Rogue. Yeah.
So on this one, it's called A Recipe for Trouble, but they got creative with the title. An ex-DOJ prosecutor tries to hide secret Trump report as a bundt cake recipe. I don't want to go through this. I got to whet the appetite. We have this big time DOJ prosecutor. She's stealing classified information from her work computer, sends it to her Gmail account. And there was another civilian email account, but she didn't want people to know that she's transferring classified information that they can't release. So she named it for like recipe. She used recipe, like bundt cake recipe, and they were PDF files. And then she sent them to her, and she got caught doing it. And now she's in a world of hurt. So yeah, we're going to cover that one. And that's not all. We've also, our next one that we've got dash cam video shows a fatal, and this was a nasty crash, a throwaway crash of a guy, but he got hit by an off-duty NYPD officer in his personal car. And the dude stops his car in the middle of the entrance ramp on a freeway. You know, that's where you're like going from zero to 70 in like as fast as you can, so you can merge with ongoing traffic, with merging, you know, with traffic. And then this dude gets out of his freaking car and tries to run across the freaking highway. And he gets nailed. And we got video of it. Greensboro police officer justified in a deadly shooting August of 2025 is when it happened. Tennessee man jailed 37 days. 37 days. This Tennessee dude, who was a former cop, put in jail for 37 days. He wrote a Facebook meme mocking Charlie Kirk's death, and which I think he's trash for doing that. But he got a $850,000 freaking settlement. We'll talk about that. It's a lot to talk about. They put him in jail. I have an issue with that too. But then we got Illinois State Police release a video from a trooper's fatal shooting of a bad guy. And then we got no charges for Gastonia police officers who shot and killed an armed man at a convenience store. So yeah, we got a lot to talk about. So again, Scott, anything you want to take out of order, let me know. Okay. I'm going to start off with the first, you know, update article. That's an interesting one. It came from foxnews.com. So we have a Boston officer that is charged with manslaughter after shooting a carjacking suspect. And they say, but they're not showing it, which makes you, that's my first flag, right? If you're saying the video disputes what the cop's saying, why aren't you showing it? But that's what they're saying. So this Boston officer is facing manslaughter charges after authorities said that he shot and killed a suspected carjacker last week. Now, this is reported by Boston 25. They say this 33-year-old officer, Nicholas O'Malley of Randolph, Massachusetts, he's charged with manslaughter, and he was arraigned on Thursday afternoon. During the arraignment, he pled not guilty, and he had dozens of fellow officers with him in the courtroom. The judge sounded pretty cool. The judge presiding over the arraignment, he allowed this officer, they released him on his own recognizance. So it's pretty much a verbal promise to appear in court. I mean, you sign a document, but yeah. Under the condition that he surrenders all his firearms in his possession, I don't think the judge had a choice on that one, especially considering the charge. But I'm glad they're not keeping the cop in jail, especially when you're mixing with the population on guys you put there, you know. Now, according to the charging documents obtained by Boston 25, investigators determined that there is probable cause to believe that this officer, O'Malley, committed voluntary manslaughter by intentionally firing at a 39-year-old named Stephen King and causing his death. None of that's a problem, but the last part would be, they say that the cop did that without acting in proper self-defense or in the defense of another. So normally when you use deadly force, as in this case, you have to be in fear of great bodily injury or death to yourself or to someone else. And those actions need to be what a reasonable officer would do in your same exact situation. So that kind of, if you have some cop that's wacko and he really did believe he was in fear of his life, but if no one else would be, then it doesn't cut it, right? So officers were initially responding to report a carjacking. A woman told police that she'd been sitting in the passenger seat of a running car. A guy comes up, identified as this bad guy King, allegedly assaults her, drags her out of the car, and then he drives off in the car. Now, the documents state that our cop O'Malley and another officer approached the stolen car. They had their firearms drawn. They're ordering the guy to show his hands, shut the car off, unlock the doors. Bad guy, he's kind of like hemming and hawing. He's not fully cooperating. He's raising his hands and then partially opened up the window, but he did not fully comply. And of course, Scott knows that's the first question I always ask myself when we have a use of force. Did the bad guy comply with, you know, because if he didn't, you know, now it's putting the responsibility on the bad guy, you know, like, why did things go south? Okay. Authorities say that when they warned this guy, hey, bro, I'm going to effing shoot you. This is what the cop said. King, the bad guy, reverses he hits a cruiser, and then he shifts between reverse and drive in an apparent attempt to flee. Now, as the vehicle is moving forward, our cop redraws his firearm because apparently it holstered. He fires three shots to the driver's window, not the windshield, but the driver's window, striking the bad guy. So at least it tells you the cop's position at the time he fired the gun. If he was in front of the vehicle, it likely would have gone through the windshield. There are exceptions to that rule. If you're riding on the hood of the car and your hands off to the side, you could have shot through the driver's window. But normally, that's what we're looking at. After being shot, bad guy drives a short distance, crashes into a wall. Officers pull him from the car, attempt life-saving measures, but he ends up dying. Investigators say that Officer O'Malley later claimed that the bad guy tried to run us over. But witness accounts said that neither officer was in the vehicle's path at the time of the shooting. We have a video, but of course they're not releasing it, which is quite, you know, which has got me wondering why. Officer O'Malley told investigators he believed his partner was about to be crushed too, and they said that belief was not reasonable. But that's an issue there. According to the autopsy, bad guy struck three times. Said that two of the bullets were recovered in his torso. Another was in the passenger seat. Investigators said no weapon was found in King's car. Doesn't matter. The vehicle was the weapon. Investigators also pointed to Massachusetts law prohibiting officers from firing at moving vehicles unless necessary to prevent imminent harm and requiring that force be proportionate to the threat. And Boston 25 reported that the Suffolk County District Attorney, Kevin Maiden, or Hayden, said the video will not be publicly released due to the ongoing investigation, and O'Malley is scheduled to return to court in May. So they've got enough to charge him. They're still investigating him. I got questions. Scott, our appetite. We got to go to the commercial break, though, you know? Okay. So I'm sorry I timed it just, but I think, think about the questions. People watching the show, think about, you know, type in on the stream if you have questions. We're going to go to our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Gall's, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Back with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Green Beret Delta Force operative Scott Steyert. I'm looking here at the stream. Sharon Caudill, they're eavesdropping on us when we're talking during the break, Scott, because she's saying original sugar-free rock star. That's what she likes. I didn't know rock star had a sugar-free. And then we got Paul Bogart. That's Corporal Paul Bogart. I used to work for him. And he said, okay, you just mentioned Richmond, Virginia, where he was at the PD for 6 years. I did not know that. I've been up to Richmond because my mom's from Hopewell, and I went up there, you know, used to go up there all the time. So thanks for putting that in there, guys. Now, and there's a little commentary from a guy named Steve Kamerick, and he's one of these Facebook guys, I guess, that maybe he just, you know, got picked on a lot, you know, when he was a kid. I don't know. What do you think, Scott? Doesn't like cops. I suspect he's probably had some run-ins.
Probably had some run-ins with the cops.
Yeah. So I tell you what, Steve, my advice, next time you go out in public, go up to a cop and have him protect you. You know, that way you don't have to assume the fetal position in the corner of the room and embarrass yourself, your family, everybody you're with. All right. That said, hey, we just got done talking about an interesting story. I'd love to get your input and kind of, if you don't mind, kind of remind the audience about what we were talking about. Well, this cop, you know, being charged with manslaughter for shooting a guy that's a carjacker, and they say the video doesn't match up with what the cop says, but they're not releasing the video either.
So, I guess, you know, again, me not being a cop, I look at it like this: the guy, okay, so he clearly ripped a innocent woman out of the car. Yeah. Stole her car. So at that point, I mean, this dude's a bad guy. So who cares? Like that's the way I look at it. I don't care about his life because he is a, you know what. Now, as far as like, is he a threat? Okay. Well, he backed into, like, he wasn't complying. One, right? I mean, he's just all he had. If he was innocent, everything was cool. Roll down the window, everything's cool. He would have been, he'd be alive today. But he didn't. Then he tried to back out, ran into a cop car, shoved it in drive, and took off. Who's to say that that guy doesn't squeal out of there? And I don't, again, not seeing the video, I don't know where it was at, but, you know, squeal out of there, run into a family with a mom and her kid, or run over somebody else, or whatever. Then it would be like, well, why didn't the cops stop him? You know, he killed this family because he was, you know, fleeing from the cops. You know, it's like, you can't, you know, what do you do? I mean, the guy is clearly a bad guy. He ripped this lady, stole her freaking car, and he got shot. You know, hey, man, you know, if you do that kind of stuff and you're a criminal, there's a good chance that you're going to end up dead. It's just the fact of life. I mean, if anybody did that, right? So, but again, it's in Boston. I'm not surprised. You know, they're going to protect the criminals. Now, I guess, you know, maybe the letter of the law, maybe they're interpreting every little thing. And I mean, if that's the way it is, it is the way it is. Maybe it's the way he said it. He was in fear because he thought he was going to hit him. And I will tell you this, and this, you know, under stress, you know, who knows? That guy, the cop, could have been in fear of his, like, you know, there's a lot going on there, but I just think, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the cop. I mean, he's out there risking his life every day going after guys like this that are just bad, evil people. And yet the cop is the one who gets, you know, punished, you know, for doing his job. It makes me sick.
So I have some observations on this. Now, I mean, not observations from watching the video because they won't release it, but that's going to come back and bite them. So knowing what we know now, and there's a reason, there's got to be a reason why they haven't released the video yet. I mean, look, when they've done an investigation, and Deb Hudler is agreeing with you on Facebook, she says, exactly, Scott. So we try not to encourage Scott too much, Deb, just on the show, you know, but thanks for doing that. Number one, they have enough to charge this guy. So they've done, I mean, look, if their investigation was not over, they wouldn't be charging this guy because there's still stuff they could find out that maybe might prove the cop's innocence, right? So I think it's a bunch of BS about them saying that the investigation's ongoing, we can't release the video, but we've done enough of the investigation to convict the cop or the charge him at least. Number two, they need to hire Jamie Borden with Critical Incident Review or Von Kleem with Forest Science. They need to get those guys in. Three, they haven't released the video. That's going to come back and bite them. But we have covered hundreds, if not thousands of videos or uses of force like this that have video components. And you know what? There's a lot of instances where you bona fidely, the cop, you know, you don't necessarily know where the vehicle is headed. And if you're closer to the car, you don't even know where the tires are pointed. Case in point, remember our female that got shot by ICE, and that was in Minneapolis. And remember the cop was in front of a car, but when he crossed over in front of the car, he could not tell where her tires were pointed. Well, and ends up when she accelerated him, and we couldn't tell until we looked at a different video, he was riding on that hood, that grill. I mean, she was pushing him backwards when he shot. Completely justified. Renee Good, I believe was her name.
Yeah.
And yeah, she totally, the person to blame for the outcome of her death is her. She totally, it was totally justified. In fact, I arguably would have shot sooner. So people that say that wasn't justified just don't know what they're talking about. So it's very possible that even if the vehicle didn't hit him, I mean, the car could have been headed towards the officer, or maybe he was rightfully afraid of his partner, or maybe the guy turned the wheels at the last minute, or maybe the wheels were pointed towards the cop. And when the cop got close, the guy turned the wheel. I mean, there's so many things that could have happened, which means the shooting would have been justified. And Scott brings up an excellent point. If someone steals your patrol car, now they're driving a 3,000-4,000 pound vehicle. And I know we're not talking about a patrol car, but then when you got your gun in it, your AR-15, you've got your shotgun or whatever else in there, you know, you've got other things. So I'm telling you, if that happens to me, I'm shooting them. I'm not letting them get away with my weaponry. Now getting away with the car. They've already proved that they're going to drag it. They didn't just hop in a freaking abandoned car. He drug a woman out of it.
Yeah.
It's a whole different level. And I also suspect, and I'm running out, I forget what point I'm on. I think it's point number five, but they say the law about shooting at moving vehicles or occupied vehicles. I really suspect that's not a law. I really believe they screwed up in the article. I think that is a department policy. I don't think that that is, if it was a law, you could get hung on it. Department policy, you can't get charged with. I suspect that is a internal policy from Boston PD, and which is kind of, doesn't really matter, you know, when we're talking about criminal law. Commercial break, guys, stick with us. It's getting real. We'll be right back. All right, guys, now we're talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, and that stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now, and Scott's a huge fan, is called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. Amazing stat. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, if you're transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove of ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, go to ComplianTechnologies.com and tell them that Chip and Scott sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Green Beret and Delta Force operative Scott Steyert. And we've been talking about, the first story, we've been talking about the cop that got jammed up for taking out a carjacker. Anything else on that, Scott, before we move to the next story? You ready to go?
Pretty much,
ready to go to Richmond, Virginia?
Yeah. Let's go to that one.
All right. So, and we do have some good commentary going on. Thank you, MVS, for telling us where Go Fast Beverage officially went.
He knows a lot about energy drinks, man. That's good knowledge.
I think he's sitting in front of a computer. He's either doing the AI thing or Googling, but he's helping us out.
Thank you. We were forgetting about it.
So, yeah, thanks, MVS. So, look, our next story. We've got a video component on this one. We're going to jump to Richmond, where Paul Bogart, our streamer, used to be a cop at. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Better. Richmond Police Department, they released a body cam footage after a woman was shot and killed.
The police!
Police Department!
Get down!
211 out of 4, shots fired. 211 out of 4, shots fired.
You got eyes?
Yep, right here.
Don't move! Don't move!
Hold on, I got it. You shoot shot, right?
Yep.
Alright, be advised, OIS.
Now, this is pretty wild how this thing goes down. So the Richmond Police Department, they released this body cam, and the events were leading up to a police officer fatally shooting a woman that happened earlier in May. So it happened on Thursday, May the 7th, at the Belt Atlantic apartment complex. Jasmine Wooten Mitchell, 31 years old, ended up being killed. According to Crime Insider sources, Wooten Mitchell, or female, was the mother of two. She had just lost the father of one of her children the day before the shooting. So It kind of implies that she's distraught about, you know, that. And I understandably, officers were dispatched to the complex at 6:47 p.m. We have two 911 callers reported hearing shots fired in the complex. The first caller believed that Wooden Mitchell shot herself inside her apartment. And the second, who called after police arrived on the scene, reported that a woman was outside the shooting, was outside shooting. So body cam video shows officers confirming hearing a gunshot around the same time as the second caller. Officers told the dispatchers that multiple people are running around the complex, and then they approached the building where Wood Mitchell was located in an upper floor. And as officers start going up the stairs, there's a woman coming down the stairs. She kind of walks by the officer, but the officer's head has just become invisible on the upper level, and our shooter starts shooting in the officer's direction. And so the officer yells, "Stop the gun," and then he returns fire, and she goes down. And then the other officer, you know, comes up, who's on the other side, and says, "Hey, don't move," before reports that they got somebody down. And so they recover a firearm at 6:54, and then they entered the apartment that she had been shooting at, and she ultimately was pronounced dead. They didn't say what they found inside the apartment that she'd been shooting at, but that's the way that happened. Scott Steyert. And Scott, I'm a and I never do this during a show. I've got to walk away. I'm smelling something. I got to go check and see what I'm smelling. I'm gonna let you take it over from here, and I will be right back. Okay.
Okay. Hopefully it's not like the house isn't on fire. Yeah, I would say like that. The biggest thing on that, it was pretty scary for the cop. He's very, very lucky. He's coming up there, and when they finally showed, I guess it was probably a ring camera or something like that. But he was well in view of the shooter. I would say from probably the torso up, and it sounded like she got maybe like three or four shots off, which it's unbelievable because it reminds me of the movie. What's the name of the movie with John Travolta and Samuel Jackson? I think it's Natural Born Killers. No, yeah, I think, I don't know. Anyhow, where he walks in and that guy comes out of the closet and he shoots, you know, all around him, and he's looking at him like, oh my God, like, you know, how did that happen? And he missed like literally every single time. So the cop's very lucky, and you know, the outcome was really good on that. So he's back. So I guess it wasn't like a 3-alarm fire. That's good.
I thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. So did you finish?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just saying how it was pretty crazy because that cop had probably from it, you know, I looked like from the torso up was totally exposed. And that lady was shooting like right there at him. And it reminded me of the movie Natural Born Killers. I think it was where, you know, John Travolta or Samuel Jackson, you know, the guy comes out of the closet, like all around him. The cop's very, very lucky. I mean, just incredibly lucky there because he was literally like his back was turned from him for at least a small portion of the time. But he was totally exposed. And which at first I didn't see that. But then when you look at it from the ring camera, it looked like it was very evident. I mean, this guy is extremely lucky. And kudos to him. I mean, as soon as he was aware of that, I mean, he was dead on.
He didn't duck back down. He turned around and engaged the target. That was pretty.
And that's why it worked out so good. I mean, one, he was lucky, but man, that's how it's done. Like, because I mean, I could see so many cops going, "Oh my God," freaking out, running away, and then who knows what's going to happen? You know, she's obviously this whole she's distraught. I get it, man. Like, you know. When you lose somebody close to you, but when I'm distraught, I don't think about, I'm just going to go grab a gun and start shooting at people. I mean, I don't know what that has to do with anything. You know, I guess everybody has their own way of dealing with grief.
You know? Yeah, too bad. Well, at least the only look, I mean, there's a child involved, obviously, but mom, at least they took her out before she did any serious harm. I mean, I don't know why she was shooting into that apartment, but at least they didn't find anybody dead in there. And, So just to kind of like educate everybody in full transparency, they are in my garage and they're doing new flooring and they put everything down, but now they're like putting like a lacquer, or they're putting like something, you know, they're putting the top coat on, and dude, the fumes are ridiculous right now. And I'm all the way at the backside of my, not that I have a huge house, but I have a parrot in a cage in my house, and they are, as people know, very susceptible to like stuff like this. So I had to go make sure my parrot's okay. And tell these guys to keep the doors closed and all that stuff. So as soon as the show's over, I'm moving the parrot outside. But I think we're good.
Yeah, so he's probably going to get a contact buzz. He's going to be out there talking up a storm, cussing.
You know the canary in the mines. You know, and that they go like that. You can't even cook with Teflon if you have a parrot or a bird.
Wow.
It'll kill them. Yeah. So it's nothing. It's serious stuff. So. Moving along here, we've got another story, and this is the one, the recipe for trouble. So Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, ex-DOJ prosecutor tries to hide a secret Trump report as bunt cape recipe. I talked about this earlier. So this former federal prosecutor is in hot water after allegedly emailing herself a restricted volume of Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigation in the Donald Trump. Now, her name is Carmen Lineberger, not linebacker, but Lineberger. She's 62 years old. She actually pled not guilty on Wednesday in a Florida federal court to four charges involving the theft and concealment of government records. She was also allowed to leave without paying bail, according to court documents. Now, Lineberger used to be the boss at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Fort Pierce, Florida. And according to the indictment, she received the restricted report via email last year, and then she ended up forwarding it along with an internal DOJ message to her personal Hotmail and Gmail accounts. The documents she allegedly took, they're a big deal, apparently. The U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon strictly banned the public from seeing this specific part of Jack Smith's report. It deals with a sensitive investigation involving classified documents that were found at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. And the hide what she was doing, this gets even better. The indictment says that Lineberger, that she renamed the government files to chocolatecakerecipe.pdf and then buntcakerecipe.pdf before she sent them to herself in the personal email. So she was obviously actively trying to hide and disguise what she was doing. She faces one felony count of obstruction of justice, another one of concealing government records, two misdemeanor counts, stealing government property worth under $1,000 worth. And the penalty could be 25 years in prison. Normally they get less than that. But what do you think about this one, Scott?
Well, didn't they say in there they did not release what was in the documents, or they said it, or I think somebody said it was extremely sensitive or damning or something to that effect. I would be really curious. What I would want to know is, like, everybody's wondering to know why. So I'm like, okay, what was in the documents? We probably won't ever know, but then what was she doing with them? And was she going to sell them? Was that part of it, or was she working for somebody else? Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. So I think I'm kind of curious to see that now that they found this, they're probably going to start looking and digging deeper into her messages and her computers, who she's been in contact with, because obviously it's like you don't have something like this and go, oh, cool, and you put it up on the wall like a painting, and when you're old, you're like, look at it. I mean, there was probably a reason. So she could have been working for somebody. She had plans of selling it. Who knows? Or maybe she already did, because it's a document. So she could have like sent a copy somewhere. So I'd be curious to see what they find out when they do more computer forensics and with her phone, and just kind of trace her steps and kind of just start figuring. I'm hoping that they do that, but who knows? It's just kind of weird to me. It's just it's interesting to me, the whole thing. I think there's more to it. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe you're right. Well, guys, we're coming up on our third commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, there's some new stuff going on with GunLearn, so pay attention. Now, GunLearn is the first and it's the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, that certification, in case you have it, even if you got it 5 years ago, is now worth college credit. So GunLearn, they've now partnered with Smarter Degree and their university partners, and now that degree is worth college credits. And they've been doing this back since 1996. They've been teaching everything that Leos, as law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start today with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And you can actually get free training for yourself and all the personnel at your agency by hosting a seminar for absolutely no cost. This is an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that's gunlearn.com. Hook up with the founder, Daniel Kelly. And it's just a great opportunity. GunLearn.com. Check it out. You guys will be very glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Green Beret and Delta Force operative Scott Steyert. And we got some great topics. So, Scott, are you ready to move on to to NYPD? So we've got some videos. If you want to take anything out of order, just let me know. We got a little over 9 minutes left here. But this is the one where we have the off-duty NYPD officer that's getting on the thoroughfare. Rumble.com, this is Butters, the channel. Dashcam video shows a fatal throughway crash of Bravo Nando involving an off-duty NYPD officer. So it's a sad story, but it just goes to let you know that just kind of be aware of your surroundings and what's going on. I'm not saying this could have been avoided, because I just don't know. I mean, you know, in hindsight, you think, I could have done this differently, that. But I mean, it's really the fault of the dude that got hit, in my opinion. So the footage related to the death of Bravo Nando, 45 years old of Albany, who was struck and killed on Thursday, December the 18th, 2025, so just before Christmas, was released on Wednesday, May 20th, by Attorney General Letitia James. So at least Letitia James is not going after Trump or cops right now in the Office of Special Investigations, right? So according to the Attorney General's office, the crash happened at 4:40 in the morning. So think about that for a second. It's early. The sun is not coming up yet, guys. 4:40 in the morning, it's pitch black, it's dark. An off-duty NYPD officer whose name has not been released is driving his personal car and merging in the southbound onto the southbound thoroughfare at exit 14. So he is picking up speed. And investigators said that, well, I'll tell you, it's better for me to tell you what happened. So you're watching the dash cam of our officer. I believe it was the dash cam, and he's accelerating, but it's dark and you can't really, it's hard to make out, but there's a vehicle stopped in front of him in his lane and it has its hazards on. And to the right of that, it looks like there's an emergency lane. Why the car is not stopped in the emergency lane, I don't know why it ended up stopping or how fast it did, but it's not ideally where it would be. So it's really in the middle of traffic. Not only that, it's in an acceleration lane. So anybody in this lane, they're accelerating and they're looking around. They're making sure they've got to merge the traffic. So it's not like they're focusing all their attention in front of them. They're having to look to the merge lanes as well. So that's what's going on. So our cop who is not identified, accelerating. And then he realizes that the vehicle in front of him with hazards on it, it's hard to tell whether the hazards were turned on as he's coming up on the car or whether they were on the whole time. But he says, I got to go around this guy. So he chooses to go to the right. There's an emergency lane, it looks like, between the wall of the thoroughfare and the vehicle that stopped. And right when he goes to go around the car on the right side at a high rate of speed, you see this dude running from the parked car, trying to make it past the lane and to the shoulder. He doesn't make it. And that's pretty much, I mean, the guy, he died probably instantly. And this cop was off duty. Scott, yeah. Your thoughts?
I mean, it's tragic. You're right. I mean, there's really not much to say about that. I mean, I probably would have done the same thing. I mean, because, you know, when you're trying to merge, you're looking ahead, but then you're also kind of looking here. You're looking ahead, or you're looking in your mirror, and you're looking. So you're gonna lose focus, or at least your attention in front, you know, for a second here and a second there. So yeah, and it being dark like that, even in the video, I was like, what's going on? And it was just like perfect timing, just extremely bad luck for the guy it makes you wonder, like, what was he thinking, stopping there? Because usually cars just don't stop, you know, instantly. I'm sure he had plenty of time to, you know, wheel it over to the right a little bit. All he had to do was get over there into that emergency lane, and this probably would have never happened. So you don't stop in the middle of a freaking highway, or an on-ramp to the highway, especially at night. So yeah, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah. And you know, it's a lot of cops are good at it. And, I mean, we deal with a lot of high speed and driving and stuff, but you know, I'm talking about judging how fast a car at a certain rate of speed can get to you. And so if you're, this guy obviously was extremely poor judge of that. So you've got to understand that if you stop on an interstate, and I know you see a clear path and you see cars coming, but if you don't have the capability or the capacity to judge the speed, you got to be so careful, because if you're moving even at 60 or 70 miles an hour, which is not, you know, there are speed limits faster than that on these thoroughfares. You know, you've just got to be aware that this car can be on you in 1 second or less. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He tried. He was running, but.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So our next one, we've got the sheriff that did not want to work with ICE that ended up getting replaced. And then we've got the officer justified in a deadly shooting in Greensboro police. And we got the Tennessee guy that was put in jail for 37 days over Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, let's cover that one. That's a good one.
Want to go with that one? That is, yeah. Kind of interesting. So, and this guy used to be a cop. So, FoxNews.com, Tennessee man jailed 37 days ago for a Facebook meme mocking Charlie Kirk's death. He ends up winning $850,000 settlement. I'll start off by saying I think the guy's trash. for mocking Charlie Kirk's death. I don't agree with that, but there's some things involving the case that happened to him that I don't agree with either. I'm curious what Scott's opinion is on this. So this guy, we're in Tennessee. So a Tennessee man who was jailed for more than a month after refusing to take down a Facebook meme poking fun at the assassination of Charlie Kirk, he will end up being paid $850,000 as part of a settlement with officials. So his name is Larry Bouchard, 61 years old, retired police officer. He spent 37 days behind bars under a $2 million bond before authorities dropped the felony charge against him in October. So that tells me a few things. Number one, he refused to take down the post. He could have taken the post down and avoided this, but he was making a point or a statement. And they gave him a $2 million bond, so they didn't want to make it easy for him to get out. So they were obviously torqued. So while in jail, he lost his post-retirement job. He missed both his wedding anniversary and the birth of his granddaughter. And I know it could have been avoided if he took the meme down. I know he didn't feel like he had to, and he was making a point, but obviously those are things that he could have been to if he really wanted to. Sheriff Nick Weems and the investigator were also sued, the investigator who obtained the arrest warrant. It goes on to say that, and this is from our officer, our former officer, "I'm pleased that my First Amendment rights have been vindicated." And this is what Bouchard said on Wednesday, announcing the settlement. The statement was provided by the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Now they're called FIRE is the acronym. And they're the guys that helped him and they represented him in the case. The people's freedom to participate in civil discourse is crucial to a healthy democracy. I have to agree with that. I am looking forward to moving on and spending time with my family. Fox News Digital has reached out to Perry County Mayor John Carroll for comment. And there's no comment there. Bouchard was arrested in September after refused to remove this Facebook meme that joked about Kirk being killed while speaking to college students in Utah. The meme that led to his arrest, it featured an image of President Donald Trump using the words, "We have to get over this." And he said it seems relevant today. Now, the meme was actually from 2024, talking about the Perry High School shooting. And some people have taken this out of context, but Trump had made something that, hey, we need to kind of move. We need to get past this. But it wasn't in a derogatory manner. The arrest was based on the observed notion, according to our article, that the meme could be interpreted as a threat against the Perry County High School in Tennessee. And furthermore, the organization noted that our guy that got arrested, he did not create or alter the meme. He used it. It already existed. So I could go on with some more stuff, but that's the nuts and bolts of it. Scott Steyer.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the guy is trash for doing that, for just having that meme. It's just in poor taste. But it's his right. He's absolutely 100% allowed to do that. So. You know, because you know what, when you start going down, that's something you would typically see the woke side or the left side do. That is their tactic. You know, if you say something that you don't agree with, they shame you, they put you in a jail, they try to sue you, whatever. They try to do all this. So 100%. I think they were absolutely wrong in putting him in jail. It worked out well. He's now has a chunk of money. And I hope he has a really good retirement. And I hope that the law enforcement agency there, they learned a lesson. I mean, because that's crap. There's no way. And it's a far stretch to say that, you know, it's endangering kids or something like that, or instigating another school. So I don't know. It's a far stretch. The guy had every right to say that. Yeah, it was in poor taste. Yeah, he's probably a turd. But you know what? It's his right.
Yeah. So I know we're on Wounded Blue time and we're kind of wrapping it up, but. You know, there's a difference between firing somebody, putting them in a jail cell. You know, if you're and this guy's in his 60s, it doesn't say that he was a cop when this went down, just said he was a former cop. So fire him, have those kinds of ramifications, but throwing somebody in jail for a meme like that's really kind of uncalled for. So, but Scott Steyer, great having you on the show. You've added some great insight, so thank you so much. Guys, I do want to mention our sponsors again, Gulls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, and TwoBells.com. Thanks for watching the show. We'll see you again on Monday, 12 noon Eastern.